Almost Laugh Nigel, it's time for this week's Ardmore Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dalrymple, and welcome to this week's Ardmore Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, Laxey Floods, Snoopy the Dog, and FC Isle of Man. To try and give you a taster of this and some of the other news that has been hitting the headlines in our print titles, and of course online at iomtoday.co.im, I'm joined by newshound Sam Turton.
Hello.
Jess Ward.
Hello.
And Distribution's very own Katie Kitchener.
Hello.
You're back?
I'm back.
How was Greece?
It was excellent, but I did not send a postcard. I have one.
You were very quick to get that.
I feel like you're going to ask, where's the postcard? And I'm like, I carried it around in my handbag every day, and I bought one. There was no naked people on it. It had the Acropolis. It's the only non-nude postcard I found.
I think Sam would have enjoyed a nude postcard.
I know he would. Yeah. They were very 80s nude postcards.
He'd have enjoyed an 80s nude postcard.
They were not modern.
I bet that's a Twitter account somewhere.
80s
nude postcard.
Do not search.
Run by Sam.
I have an extensive collection.
No, his is non-context 80s nude postcard. So it was good. Nice holiday.
It was excellent. Highly recommend it.
Nice to have you back, obviously, for the podcast. Jess, good week?
Yeah, it's been all right. Yeah, pretty
all right. Solid 7 out of 10?
I'd say 6.5 out of 10. Ooh. You know, it's not quite
under the
there.
Seven. Dipping under the 7?
Yeah, just slightly. I think it's the weather, you know. The winter's really hit.
It's autumn. It's not cold.
It's winter for me.
It's not cold.
No, it's not.
I think I need to start taking like vitamin D tablets now.
Right. Vitamin D. Well, there you go.
Vitamin.
Sam, good week?
Yeah, not bad, yeah.
Not bad?
Yeah.
Sort of the 7 out of 10.
Oh, no, I'd give it an 8.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, give it an 8.
I like it in your haircut, that's nice.
Yes, looking sharp.
You are? Were you at the college, Half Price Tuesdays?
No, I wasn't. I went and got it cut properly.
Oh, nice. Very well.
Nice. Bit of a burn there.
But we have had one postcard this week, haven't we?
We've had one, yes.
Sam, would you like to tell us who it's from and what they've said?
Producer Emma.
And what was on the front of it?
A picture of Chicago in the, I'm assuming, 80s. If nothing else, actually, I mean, the font's a bit odd, but also the cars. Like, there's a lot of old cars in this picture.
Well, you say old, but, you know, I was alive when they're that. I reckon that's 90s Chicago, that, not 80s.
There's a lot of Volvos.
Do you remember Due South?
No.
Do you remember Due South?
No.
About a Canadian Mountie who moved to Chicago. Stick with me. And he formed a crime...
Producer Emma's nodding enthusiastically.
A crime-fighting duo with a local police officer. And to cap it all off, he had a deaf husky called Diefenbaker, who helped him solve crime as well.
Diefenbaker?
I've got the box set at home, if anyone wants to borrow it on DVD. My wife bought it for me on my birthday once, but it's very good. Although they did change... Ray DeVecchio, who was the Chicago police officer,
yeah,
he was phased out mysteriously. They brought someone else in, and then he came back, and the cover was that he'd been in deep cover for 2 seasons.
Did the actor just fall out with the director?
Yes, classic. Yeah. Pay row.
Yeah, being a bit of a diva.
That was set in Chicago, and the reason I brought it up, because that very much looks like the Chicago I remember from...
That could be a still from Due South.
Over the lack of Mountie or deaf husky.
Okay.
Anyway, so producer Emma was telling us about her first ever deep dish pizza, FML So Big.
She did an FML on her postcard.
She always FMLs.
On her postcard?
Just all the time.
Arrived at the hotel tonight for the wedding she was at. There's a strike, so they're actually scabs because they crossed the picket line to stay at their hotel.
What? So was the hotel staff were striking?
Seems to be, yeah.
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 Keep going.
I can't actually say the next one.
You can't?
I can't say the next sentence.
Is it rude?
Yeah.
Oh. But what does the arrow point to?
I'll get to that. Anyway, so she's going to keep us updated. And this is part one. We haven't had part two yet. But I got confused reading this because this thing says pizza grease.
Right.
Which I thought she'd have her first ever pizza grease deep dish pizza, which would make sense. Turns out she got pizza grease on the postcard and smudged the stamp. So, yeah, well done. It's a good job she did in America, because in Britain, if that was the Queen, that's treason as far as I'm concerned.
Very fair point, Sam. So I'd say, you know, FML, it's obviously, I won't repeat what it is, but it's quite a common thing now.
Yes.
When it first sort of was part of popular culture, I kept getting it mistaken with JML. you know, Gemini Health that advertise on telly, like for
like really, when you fall asleep
and you get practical things. Yeah. So I was like, why is everyone like plugging JML? You know, in their cordless vacuums or whatever. So it was only after a while someone actually pointed out you're an idiot.
Clicked, yeah.
And FML needs something else. See, I would always say I'm full.
Yeah. Wow.
Because I think it's more of an impact than FML. Anyway, on to this week's news, Sam, with the floodings in Laxey last week. And there's been more reaction to this in this week's Examiner, wasn't
there? Yeah, well, we spoke about this last week, and it's a story which I think is going to keep coming back round, to be honest. This week, there's a FOI put in, Freedom Information Request.
FOI, yep, good, nice one.
No. Put in by...
We're all about the abbreviations.
And it was weird, because this was put in just before the floods happened. So the results had all come out. And it's basically saying that there was two reports which said Laxey is at risk of flooding after the time that the last flood had been back in 2015 with the bus in the river, which is like one of, in a sense, one
iconic
of those, like, it is an iconic image of the last sort of decade, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So there are two reports, one from Storm Geomatics, who were their expert storm people.
Mm-hmm. They don't chase them, do they?
No, have you seen that film though?
Well,
the Hurricane Chases People.
Well, is that a documentary?
Twister, it's called.
Twister, yeah.
It's a great film.
Pierce Brosnan, isn't it?
Helen Hunt?
No, I'm thinking of the one, Volcano.
You're thinking of Dante's Peak.
Dante's Peak. And then there was Volcano, which was Tommy Lee Jones. And that it was like, they all came out one summer.
Yeah, extreme weather movies.
Yeah.
I had to do a report on Dante's Peak about why it was geographically inaccurate.
Where would you start with that?
Well, you couldn't start the cars for a start with the lack of oxygen that was in the air, but anyway. So this is a report that they've done. So it's saying that the riverbanks have problems that had to be fixed. And as we spoke, resident Richard Neaney lives down in Laxey.
Mm-hmm.
He said to us last week about how they've been saying this for years, it hasn't been done. And it now appears that work actually... There's a picture on Facebook this week of the work being done to clear the riverbank and to repair parts of it. So it is interesting that this has come back round and the residents... At least look like here that they've been proved right, that this stuff hadn't been sorted out, and the warnings were there. I was reading this, and it's like, you know the thing in Titanic, the movie where he's there going, he's got the iceberg warning in front of him, he's got it in his hand. The government had these reports in their hands, and didn't do it.
Like Paul Speller, he's also written up about the issue when it was brought up and tinwalled by Martin Perkins, Garth MHK, and his quote was, we've missed two bullets that have been fired by global warming, and it's essential we need to address this and leave no stones unturned. And he was kind of pointing to like the bridge collapse. I mean, that was quite a major signpost, really, and that was in 2015.
So, has the word compensation been spoken about yet?
I think that there's all sorts of the blame games well and truly underway at this stage. So there's going to be an independent, which you can see Paul's coverage out in the Indy this week. There's going to be an independent report and inquiry and all that sort of thing into it. There's actually a meeting tonight, which I think I'm breaking the fourth wall by revealing this is recorded on Thursday afternoon this week. And there's a meeting tonight for that with residents and MHKs, which we're going to, which I think could be quite interesting, actually, because there's a lot of people who are quite rightly are very annoyed about this. But also raises issues going forward, because they've said about Laxey they want to put a sea defence in, whereas they've proven again and again that the sea isn't the problem at Laxey. It's
water inland, isn't it?
It's the runoff from the hill. I mean, but you go back, the last one was 35, then you have 15, you have 2019.
So 30 it was.
30.
9:30, because I did Down Memory Lane. So history fans.
There you go. So 1930, then you have 2 and 4 or 5 years. So obviously this is a problem which is getting more frequent. But also it's going to have an impact on sewage in the village, weirdly. Because on where they want to build a new sewage plant has flooded twice in the past 4 or 5 years.
Oh.
And they're going to have to put a new bridge in to access it.
Mm.
Laxey, of course, has a problem with bridges and flooding and how that all impacts it. But no, it's a serious thing. They have to build a bridge which isn't going to be affected by this. And I think there's a lot... This is going to run on for a long time down in Laxey.
So you're going to the meeting tonight. There'll be coverage of that in the Examiner on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I assume there'll be an initial bit on iomtoday.co.im.
Yeah, it depends how things go. It might get up this evening, it might get up tomorrow morning. It'll be whatever time it happens to be when you're listening to this, it's probably there somewhere.
So please do go and have a look. Right, Jess, we've gone from floods to a lovely story about a retiring police dog called Snoopy.
Snoopy, what a name.
I was looking at the pictures, because I think it was looking at the pictures on Saturday, because it was the hockey and the rugby, and then suddenly Snoopy appeared.
His little face, lovely, isn't he? He's got the cutest little face ever.
And he's been on our IOM newspaper's Instagram story.
Yes,
he
has, yeah. So Grace has popped that up too. And the company that one of his handlers now runs, they shared it too, so it's K9X.
Mm.
So, so I actually got to meet Snoopy, and he's just, like, such a bundle of, like, energy and happiness. I went down to Manx SPCA, because that's actually where he was put up for adoption.
So he's your rescue dog?
Yeah, he was. Wow. Yeah, so I was talking to Jane Gregory, who's the assistant, she helps run a Manx SPCA. She said that the reason why he'd been brought in is because he was just too much to, like, handle. He was too crazy.
Mm.
Yeah, so he was 9 months old when they got him, and she recognised some, like, really good skills that she thought, actually, do you know what, the dog unit, the police dog unit, could use that. So she phoned up this guy called Ian Kelly, who was a sergeant of the unit at the time, and, he came down and he sussed him out and said, actually, yeah, his, like, ball skills are really, really good, and he gave him some training. Yeah, he was like, yep, Snoopy's, like, really good for us, so took him on board, and he served them for, like, 10 years.
So I read this story, it's a really good story, it was in the Examiner this week, and 10 years is quite a long spell for a
service dog. Especially for a dog, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
Is that a maximum term he can serve, or is there other reasons why he's had to sort of give up?
Yeah, they kind of said, well, 10 years, you know.
70?
Years?
Human years.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they said, well,
we're still making Terry Kringle work, and he's 86.
True point. I think they said, well, he's given so much of his life to the cause. I mean, he's done some great things. He actually discovered one of the biggest amounts of heroin brought into the Isle of Man. It was £70,000 worth of heroin. Wow. That he sniffed out. But they said actually just any like amount was significant, even if it was small, because it just meant that I would get off the streets.
So what happens next to Snoopy?
Oh, this is where it gets really lovely, and I don't know
if I'm ready for this.
I was not ready when they told me. So I asked them, so what is Snoopy doing now that he's retired? Turns out he's going to go home to his first and last handlers. So Ian Kelly, who first kind of brought him into the force, and Saskia, who was his last handler. So they're giving him a home. And I was like, oh, that's so sweet. And he's also going to be helping like dog owners across the island who bring in their dogs to this. It's like a training centre that Ian set up, K9X, and he's going to kind of give these dog owners some confidence and how to train their own dog. So it's really lovely.
There is lots of lovely pictures of Snoopy in the Examiner this week on page 10, so please do pop down to your local newsagent or indeed online, imtoday.co.im, digital editions.
Yep.
Third favourite tab.
Your third favourite tab.
Yeah.
My number one.
Number one?
My number one tab. Love digital editions.
Even ahead of politics.
Especially ahead of politics.
Excuse me. Yeah.
But yes, you can find lots of lovely pictures of him on that. This week's sports story, Sam. You lit up the WhatsApp group, the news WhatsApp group, because you saw this vote happened on Tuesday. It's about FC Isle of Man. They've been officially affiliated to the Isle of Man FA this week as they passed through the FA Council meeting 25 votes to 1. I'd call that a landslide in political terms, wouldn't you, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, I think it probably compares, I suppose, with Reagan's win against Jimmy Carter. It's that sort of level.
I'll take your word for it. But yes, so that means, what that means is FC Isle of Man, for those of you who don't know, there is a tremendous, I'm not being biased, it's a tremendous Manx football podcast on the whole subject, which you can find on all good and even some bad podcast platforms. But yes, it's the idea of entering a Manx football team into the English non-league system. This affiliation means that they can now look at the process of joining a league across. I think the preferred destination is the North West Counties Football League, which is based in Cheshire in Lancashire. The hope is that if everything goes well, every box is ticked, that the team will be playing in that next season. So that's August, September, the season starts. The latest hurdle has been crossed now with that affiliation with the FA. I feel bad because I feel like I've cheated on our Alabama Newspapers podcasts, because I was actually just being interviewed by the Non-League Show podcast.
Is this when you grabbed your phone and said, I'm going to the studio, yeah, and marched off?
Yeah.
We were like, oh, yeah, the cupboard.
Well, you call it a cupboard, I call it a studio. Has one of the walls changed colour? Is that me?
That's very much you.
Have they changed
the light? Oh, the light. Maybe they've changed the light bulbs.
There was a lot of flashing light bulbs at this side of the building the other day. I saw Kurt
walking down. Health and safety Kurt having a disco.
He's playing Sandstorm.
Did he have his high vis on? And his whistle. But yes, so I was in the studio, technically. But yes, so that's going out this week as well. But if you want to read more, that's on the back page of this week's Manx Independent. We, of course, have been following the story very closely, and I'm sure there'll be more developments to come in the next few weeks and months. Sam, you a big FC Alman fan?
Do you know what? Our committee is a club at Governors. I was the only one of two people who actually opposed it.
Right.
I have a lot of reservations about it. I really hope it works. I just have a lot of reservations about the state Manx football is in already without this adding to it. Mm. And I have concerns about it.
What do you mean about the state?
I mean, you've got, like, more and more teams are struggling to put out two teams every week. You get more and more postponements because of it, or teams dropping out of leagues. And it's just, I just think there's an issue in football which this isn't going to address. I also think the Alman FA are refusing to address, but it's a different matter entirely. And I really do hope this works. I think it'd be great for the island if it does work. I just think that there are other concerns besides this in football which this is going to paper over a lot of the cracks.
Mm-hmm. Well, the hope is that it will maybe give some more enthusiasm back to Manx football and maybe reinvigorate people that have maybe left the game or whatever. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it develops, and as I say,
it's a bit of inspiration to them.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see where it goes from here.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Sam, we don't use the phrase Bobby Dazzler very often, but as we step into the Isle of Man Newspapers DeLorean, travel back to Tuesday, October the 12th, 2010, and the front cover of the Isle of Man Examiner of that week, I feel I have to use it because you've picked a front page that has a smorgasbord of stories that truly are excellent in every single way.
Yeah, I mean, the sum of it, it's a bit like deja vu. I mean, we've got a story about the prom being rebuilt. Manx Radio posting a loss and making changes to the way the station's run. Mm. And we've also got a naked man.
Yeah, and to be honest, it's you can almost see the business end of you. Pardon the pun. it's not much left to the imagination there, is it? It's quite risque for 2010. This,
yeah.
So, do you want to explain a little bit about the nude man in the corner of the top right, left corner of the Alman Examiner?
He was a naked Manxman as a centrefold. He was going to be a centrefold model.
Who was it?
I hope you're going to tell me. Cause
I don't know.
Either of you recognise
him? He looks
naked
a bit like Jamie Redknapp, but apart from that, I wouldn't...
A little bit.
He does, actually.
We were talking about this, though, because our editor, Richard, was saying he remembers setting this page out, and Paul Speller, who was sort of more in the office at the time, was saying... It's very close to the line where we're putting it.
Yes, because it's where his other hand is positioned that I'm a bit
skeptical about. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's very...
If you had a dirty imagination, you could imagine something else below that line, which it doesn't look good, does it?
So, since when did the Examiner kind of, like,
have
become
the
become the sun?
Well, I don't know. It's obviously was a... To be honest, this was probably the best ever front cup selling paper, because there's the amount of good stuff on the front. You know, you got a half-naked man. As you say, you've got the story about the prom and Manx Radio, which are both usually good sellers for us. There's a lovely story about a theme park as well, isn't there, Sam?
Yeah, it was a theme park dismissed as a Mickey Mouse idea.
See what they've done there.
Old Adrian Derbyshire.
So it was, they were looking at the idea of how to boost leisure and tourism on the island, and they decided they were going to consider building a theme park. Then they decided, do you know what? Probably
it's
not a great idea.
Not going to work.
You know, I mean, of course, in your lifetime, there will be in White City.
No, maybe, possibly. I don't remember it. I've sort of remember pictures of it, but that's about it.
Yeah, so,
do you think a Manx theme park would look like the fair from Father Ted?
Yes, yeah. The tunnel of goats. Yeah. Yeah, and stuff like that. The
spider baby.
Yeah. But, yeah, you would wonder what the theme would be.
TT. You could have it like TT. It's got and then you've got to go over like just, some random simulate. Places like the ferry bridge.
The ferry bridge?
Yeah. Sorry.
Or even the fairy bridge.
The fairy bridge.
I think it's very tenuous, isn't it? It'd be like Onken Park, wouldn't it? You know, when you play through the crazy golf.
If you are going to offend...
It's Onken Park. Course. Actually, is our theme park, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's got the greatest crazy golf course on the island.
Isn't it the only crazy golf course?
No, there's one in Ramsey.
Yeah.
Oh.
And Breagle Glen's got one, is it?
Oh,
I think so.
Connoisseur of golf courses.
It's crazy golf courses. It's Adrian and Jackie, that big
thing. There's a pitch and putt course.
There is.
There's the bumper boats, the splashing boats.
Yeah.
There's a go-karts. Yeah. What else has it got? It's got the little kids' go-karts as well.
There's those barrels you run on. They're still there?
No.
Are they not? Do you remember them?
No.
They're like barrels that you run around on.
In the actual park?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Got go-karts though.
They've got lots of go-karts. Many go-karts.
And crown green bowls.
Crown green bowls. Flat, both
there, yeah.
It's a hub of bowls.
Yeah.
So, essentially, they didn't really need to think about building a new one.
Why do you need anything there? Else?
Exactly.
So, anyway, the discussion was that they were talking about the new Harry Potter themed extension to Universal Studios in Orlando.
Which is my tangent.
Which cost £134 million.
Comparable. Yeah. Let's just go for it. Yeah. We'll call it Harry Pitter.
And
think about pitter breads.
All right, I'll bring it back to being about the island. They were going to build Thomas Land at Drayton Manor. Thomas Tank Engine, the movie, of course, filmed here at Castletown. There you go.
Tenuous
links.
Yeah.
And that cost about £5.5 million. So eventually they sort of decided, do you know what? It's probably not a goer. It's a bit of an expensive
I reckon
thing.
Harry Potter world definitely is. Come and try my hummus.
Oh my gosh, I would be there.
Exactly. Sold.
Second time you've got very excited about hummus today.
We had crudités before.
So what else on the front page this week? A lovely Conker story. Now we've in the podcast in the last recent weeks we've covered the worrying news that Conker horse chestnut trees.
Yeah, horse chestnut, yeah.
Yeah, I had to double check that. Conker trees to the layman. Are possibly endangered. So
in the UK.
But the front picture on the front page this week was, Jess?
It was a Conker. Well, actually, it was a World Conker Championship in Broad.
Braid.
Braid even.
Broad.
What? I know how bad that was.
Braid host. No, I'm doing it. Hosts a lot of World Championships for its size.
I'm looking at Jess's front page, and she's actually circled Giles Beaumont, who... The pictures, and she's put the next big thing.
He was a winner of the next big thing. He was like a child magician.
Because of his conquering?
No, not because of that.
Is that a program?
No.
It's over here.
Yeah, it's like a show. It's like a talent show.
It's like the Isle of Man's Got Talent.
Yeah, but for kids.
But there was a lovely story written by my good friend Fergus McEwen, who coincidentally is getting married on Saturday.
Nice.
You
invited to the wedding, right?
I am. I'm going tomorrow night. That's not awkward at all. But he wrote the story on the Conker World Championship. But I love the fact he signs off with, the committee's next event is the Hoptunay Party at the Braid Hall on Friday, October 29th at 7 p.m. Always put it in your diary. So, so I don't know, is the Conker World Championship still a thing at Braid? I haven't heard.
Are we able to check up and see if this guy has become...
A Conker champion.
Giles. Yeah, 9 years later.
He's a champion magician.
I could find out.
Oh, sorry, he's not just in the Conker world.
That was me being facetious.
Oh, right, okay. I'm reading it sideways, I can't see it.
I gave you your own copy.
I forgot it.
Guys, stop fighting.
We're on here.
But I like the title, The Conquering Heroes. I just got to point that out.
Not much to speak about with the ads, really. By the 2000s,
it's
quite
dull. Has no one noticed the funky fungus that is on our
Yeah, no, that's...
Next to the naked man.
The fungus is next to the naked man.
Yes. I just like the alliteration as well. Just got to...
Funky fungus.
Show out some appreciation.
I actually think the best thing on this front page, which you've all missed, is the Robinson's advert in the top right-hand corner, which has the recipe of the week.
For Bramley's?
I think we should bring back recipe of the week.
What were we going to do? We haven't done it yet.
We're doing our Manx food competition,
yeah,
aren't
we? We're going to do our Manx food comp, which...
Or cook-off.
Maybe we should do it maybe towards... We should do it soon, shouldn't we?
Nearer a payday.
Yeah. Well, we're nearer a payday.
I'll try and do one for next week.
Yeah.
I'll try and get mine done for next week.
No, we were going to do it all on the same day, weren't we?
Yeah. I think the blackberry season is running out, so I've got to do it soon.
Okay, maybe next...
Oh, you're going foraging for your local foods,
then. Maybe next Friday, then.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it, and then we could have we could get people to give their reactions on audio, and then we can maybe film it for the Instas.
Oh, very good, yeah.
Because we're all about the multi...
Some visuals.
...multi-platform approach these days. but yeah, so we've digressed. So that was This Week in History, 2010, October the 12th. Good find that, Sam. You're going to struggle to top that next week.
I know. It's going to be... I'll find some.
It's all downhill from here.
Yeah. Ed Eagle wants to tell me that.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Now, we said it was all downhill from here, Katie, but that is an absolutely horrendously filthy lie because it's the best bit of the podcast, in my opinion. It's Manx Word of the Week and the new Ding Anglo Manx phrases. Yeah, I was trying to do that, you know, when something's new and it sparkles, but I realised then we were on...
What about like this?
Oh!
That's good.
That's naughty. Right. Manx Word of the Week, Katie.
Okay, so last week... It was autumn.
Yes, but what's the Manx? Because that's not Manx. Autumn is very much an English word.
It was F-O-R.
Pardon?
Which meant autumn, which is good because Jess has already been mentioning autumn today.
Yeah. Also, I think it sounds a little bit like fall, don't you think? F-O-R. Autumn.
It's almost like F-O-I.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. F-O-R. So that was last week.
Yeah.
This week
is... Right, I was trying to explain to... She knows what... Producer Emma knows what the word is, what it means.
Right.
I had to explain how I reached that link from autumn.
Ooh.
So...
I reckon it's
if conquer. You understand how my mind works, you might get there.
Wait, so it links to last week?
Kind of, autumn. Yeah.
Well, we've dangled it in front of them for long enough.
So. I'm going to say wind.
Again,
you got to say Manx.
No, yeah, but that's... I'm sorry, I don't...
Word of the week. Let's just say random English words. Right.
Okay, so it's Easter-y.
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 If you know Easter-y. So, Katie, you know, you're going to have a crack at that.
Easter-y.
Easter-y. Let's hear how the culture van and lad say it.
Yeast ure.
And so you think it's wind?
I think it's wind.
I think it is freedom of information.
See, knowing how your mind works, it could be anything from like wind, as Jess says, or maybe I doubt FOI. It could also be just like a serial killer documentary you've watched this week. I don't know. It could be anything.
That's true.
So I'm not going to put any eggs in any baskets. I'm going to take them all home and
find out next
make
week.
A nice omelette.
Exactly.
Ooh, I love an omelette. That's a very autumnal food.
That could be your good Manx food. Just a simple omelette.
Well, we do have chickens at home, so we could use those.
Very specific to Jess's Manx house.
Yeah. We need
local.
To lay down the boundaries for this.
Yeah.
Just, you know, about what's Manx and what's not Manx. Are the chickens Manx?
Were they born here?
Yeah.
The three generations?
Oh, I don't know, actually. They might not be, then.
Well,
did you import
interested.
Them from New Zealand?
All the way.
Right, on that bombshell. Now we're on to our Anglo-Manx phases, Katie.
Okay, did any of you use last week's, by the way?
I did for about half an hour after the podcast because they were so funny and then I forgot them.
Okay, so we had Clicky,
yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
Was it Clish Clash?
Clish Clash, Few
yeah.
Gossip.
Yeah.
And
because there was the tremendous Instagram post on IOM News Podcast, wasn't there? Of Sam as the lady that sang the song.
Gwen Stefani.
Yeah, forgot about that.
Because he was a Clish Clash girl. ain't no Clish Clash girl, are you, Sam? But this week, what have we got then?
We've moved on to the D this week.
Oh.
Quite literally.
We have. We're on the Ds. So
all about the Ds. Right. Go on then. I can't wait to see how you parcel this one.
Well, yeah, so, yeah. Sam, we need Sam's Manx accents.
So the word is dick, so to dress up very smartly.
Yeah.
So he's dressed up to the dick.
Now, this.
And then you've got to do that, the sight of him.
The sight of him, gloves on his hands, and done up to dick.
I think you may have surpassed yourself with this one.
So when we go to the awards for excellence, you'll be like, oh, Sam, you dressed up to Dick.
And if someone doesn't, I will be very upset. Dressed up to Dick. Well,
beautiful.
Right, so we were, you know, dressed up to Dick. We've learned what that means. Next one.
Driddle.
Driddle.
Means trickle, like a little bit. Sam.
The bottle's near empty, but there's still a little dillum in the bottom yet.
You didn't actually say driddle.
Yeah. Also, I'm confused because you put D middle. Is that supposed to be
that's
driddle?
That's literally how I just copy and pasted that from
the bottle
Anglo
is near
Manx
empty,
website.
But there's
how
a little diddle in the bottom
how
yet.
How do you say it? Like DM.
Just ignore it. I reckon that's their spelling mistake there.
Diddle.
So you'd have the sight of him, gloves on his hands, done up to date, the bottle's near empty, but there's a little driddle in the bottom yet.
When you go into your Manx accent, you don't seem to breathe.
No, I don't.
You take one breath at the beginning. And...
Oh, so you've worked. The two words to take home this week are dick and driddle.
Use them in your everyday conversations.
If you do use them, please do record them. Make sure both people involved in the conversation are aware that you're recording them and send them in, and we may play them next week.
I like that. Yeah.
Slide the. No, I can't say that. You're going to have to cut that out because I was going to say slide the D into the DMs.
It's like the dick into the DMs.
Okay, getting absolutely slid into the DMs. We'll keep this in. Oh. A dick pic, when this was written, would be someone that's dressed very nicely, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so...
A picture of a nicely dressed
man.
Person.
It's not gender specific, so it could be a nicely dressed woman, isn't it?
Yeah.
So if you've got any dick pics, please do send them. IOM News Podcast. How long can I keep this going before Sam clicks twice?
Have you noticed when Sam laughs, he pulls his top up higher and higher to cover his head?
He doesn't
He's
look
like
very,
headless Nick.
You know, ironically, he doesn't look like a dick when he does that.
That's not dick dressing.
No. So if you can take anything away from this week's podcast, dress like a dick.
Let's just end it there.
Well, we're on 34 minutes. The shutters will be coming down shortly.
Look at it to this one.
Right, that's about it for this week's podcast. Jess, what's coming up this week?
So, I've been into St. Ninian's High School. They've marked...
Did they know?
No, they knew. They knew I was coming. So it was World Mental Health Day on the 10th of October, and they had sort of representatives from mental health charity Reach Isle of Man come in, and they had activities, lots of talks about mental health and what they can do, where they can go, just talking about how there is a stigma attached, so kind of got their views.
So is that in the Examiner next week?
Yeah, they'll be in the Examiner.
Not wishing to blow my own trumpet again, but we did a podcast with Adam Hudgen from Reach a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about the charity and the excellent work he's doing to raise the profile of mental health awareness and all that. And of course it is, as you say, World Mental Health Day. This week. Katie, what have you got much coming up this week?
There are two really good papers next week.
Well, they're always good.
But they're especially good next week because in the Isle of Man Examiner you've got Behind the Business, so that is a lovely supplement. And then in the Manx Independent next week, you've got Little Starters. So
that's always very popular, isn't
photographs
it?
Photographs from all of the island's reception classes.
Aww. All the cuties.
Yes.
I wish we'd had Little Starters when I was at school.
There's some amazing faces being pulled in those photos, by the way.
I find it really funny when you go through those photos and you can see how keen some kids are to like just give a nice smile to
I
the
like
camera.
It when you can tell the teachers had to separate a couple of them because they've obviously all decided to pull the same face at the same time.
Sam's nodding knowingly. That often happens when we're having staff photos here, isn't it? Sam, what's going on next week?
Got the meeting tonight, of course, in LAC, so that'll be in the Examiner.
Floods.
I've also got a piece I've done on the education bill, which sounds really dull, but it's really quite interesting what they've said about the department as a whole and also its minister, who's under fire in various different ways at the minute.
Mm-hmm. So that'll be
in the Examiner, yeah.
Thank you very much. Right, if you want to get in touch throughout the week, please do send us your dick pics at IOM News Podcast on Instagram and, of course, on Twitter. Grace will have a lot of fun looking through them, I'm sure. And she will share the best on our next week. If you've only just started listening to the podcast, that probably sounded very inappropriate. Please do rewind back a couple of minutes to find out the actual and proper meaning of the word dick. If we've piqued your interest in any of this week's news stories, please do look online at iomtoday.co.im and click on Katie's favourite tab, digital editions where you can find all our publications from the week, can't you?
Yes.
Including the Courier, which is brand spanking free, isn't it? Spanking free?
Yeah.
It's not
yeah.
a free actual word, is it? It's actually it's just free.
It's there straight away in the morning.
It is. So if you
can't wait to read it until you get home from work. You can go online and read it.
And of course, if you're away on your travels, please do send us a podcast. I say this every week, a postcard, which we always enjoy getting a postcard, don't we?
We love it.
And we've got them all up, and we need to put the power wall together, don't we? Mm-hmm.
Yes, because I've got quite a few, just mainly all of Jess's, just in my drawer with my soup.
I think we could put them up in Nigel, couldn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe do them, and then I'll do like a little video showing which ones we've picked.
Yeah. So maybe we could sort that over the next week.
I'll get blue tacking.
Yeah. Check with the health and safety care first, though, please. Right. Until next week.
Bye for now.